step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with Terry Anderson. He and Kathy Rattay have a new book, Renewing Indigenous Economies. The book has many practical explanations, not only to those of us who are not Native Americans, indigenous people, but to the people who are growing up on the reservations or who have visited reservations, have relatives there, about what is to be done. There are practical recommendations, which we'll come to, but we have to answer, at least in part, how we got to this impasse where one year, the 2020, the Supreme Court can declare that half of Oklahoma is a reservation that has rights that cannot be taken away by the state. And in 2022, suddenly, no, it's a limited amount of rights you have. The state is supreme. How did that happen in 2 years? Well, it starts with a very famous man, John Marshall. Terry has taught me this over the years, but there's a Marshall trilogy. And it turns on, and this is economy of scene, Terry, it turns on the Cherokee Nation, which was forced to give up its homes and robbed of everything that it had created for centuries and pushed to the west, the Trail of Tears to Oklahoma. What did Marshall do? Why did he do it? And what was the result, Terry?
Well, John Marshall has long been a hero of mine, or was at least until I studied much more of the Marshall Trilogy, as you've explained. John Marshall was a great supporter of property rights, of individual rights, of limited government, except when it came to dealing with American Indians. And that was all part of a history that treated American Indians as if they had no ownership of land, and therefore it was okay to move them off of land. If they didn't own it, well, then it was there for anybody to take and use, put to use. And so Marshall in the trilogy said that these people are not civilized, that they are to be treated as wards, and he said the relationship was like that of a ward to his guardian, the American Indian, the ward, the United States government, the guardian. Those words still exist in our laws. They are part of the Supreme Court's decisions over time, and they are appalling to think that we treat a group of people who were here long before you or I, as wards of the state, and that we need them, that they need a guardian. In the 1870s, the Congress went on to say that they cannot own land because they are not competent or capable. Think of those two words today. If we said that of Hispanic people, of African Americans, they are not competent and capable. I mean, you just can't even utter those words in an if statement. And yet we use those words coming out of the Marshall Trilogy, following into law from the late 19th century, and hold vast tracts of American land in trust, just as you might if you had a child and you left some money and you appointed a trustee. The federal government is trustee of American Indian lands. Again, if we said the American government is trustee of houses owned by Hispanic people, it just doesn't even comprehend. So Marshall set us on a path of treating this people in a whole different way than we have any other minority. And it continues to this day. And until it changes, which it looked like it might with McGirt, Native Americans will continue to be wards of the state, incompetent, incapable, and as a result, have little ability to exert sovereignty for individuals or nations, and therefore to experience prosperity.
We need to look at how the U.S. government has dealt with this through the decades of the 19th century. Critical is the creation of the Bureau of Indian Affairs extant right now, rendering decisions. It was created in 1824. And what powers did it have then? Does it still possess, Terry?
Oh, it's still incredibly powerful. And again, little understood, little known. But the Bureau of Indian Affairs, as it's called today, is the trustee of these American lands. Let me go back just a few years when a member of the Blackfeet Nation here in Montana, Eloise Cabell, filed suit saying that her lands, ones that had her family name on them, that were held in trust by the federal government and leased out for cattle grazing, never earned her any return. She wasn't getting the checks. So a person who wanted to lease this land for cattle would write out a check for the lease, send it to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and it would disappear. Billions of dollars were lost by the trustee. And that goes on in a world where we can't fathom that the federal government would treat people this way. Eloise Cabell eventually, or her successors, having filed a suit, settled the suit, and the federal government gave a few peanuts to tribes and said, "Here's some money," and it has had made little difference. But the point of this is that the Bureau of Indian Affairs is a powerful, powerful agency that no one knows anything about, and they have under their thumb Native Americans who are treated to be incompetent and incapable. Eloise Cabell, case in point. And yet this is a woman who was clearly well-read, well-reasoned, and capable of handling her own affairs better than the Bureau of Indian Affairs could.
What I've learned from you over the years, Terry, and you mentioned it in the new book, is that there have been fashion. Fashion has changed now and again over these last 200 years. There was a period of time, I believe in the mid-20th century, when it was fashion to believe that the Native Americans could be assimilated in some fashion. Was there at the Bureau of Indian Affairs, was this pressed upon the Native Americans to leave the reservation, to marry out? How did it affect?
It was very much pressed upon American Indians by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Initially, in the late 1800s, the 1870s and 80s, when the Bureau of Indian Affairs attempted to allot lands to individual Indians, that sounds useful. They're going to get their property rights. They will become good Jeffersonian yeoman farmers. And so they allotted private ownership of 160 acres, then 320, 640 sections of land to Native Americans. But the impetus from this came from settlers who wanted to buy that land and own it themselves outright. And so as soon as the Bureau of Indian Affairs would issue title to an American Indian, typically the settlers would buy that land, and it went out of Indian hands. That led to the notion that, well, we can't allot it or they will get rid of their land, so we'll keep it in trust. And then fast forwarding to what you're talking about, these people remained and remain to this day poor if they're on reservations. So the idea was, well, we need to bring them into our culture. So they shouldn't speak their language. They should speak English. They shouldn't practice their rituals. So actual say the sun dance, which was a part of Indian constitution, basically, was disallowed. It was made unlawful to participate in a ceremony like that. All this to bring them into American culture, and it destroyed many tribal cultures. Many tribes have lost their language. So it's the Bureau of Indian Affairs has been involved in this for a long time and continues to have a heavy hand.
Do I say correctly, Terry, that there were many more tribal entities than there are now extant on reservations? Because there was a period where the reservations were terminated. They were taken away so that you were homeless. Is that correct?
Totally correct, John. One of my best examples is the Coushatta tribe in Louisiana. The people there are wonderful, wonderful people, extremely competent and capable. They were their lands were taken away. They were declared to not be tribes any longer. And finally, in 1974, Ernest Zicke, who was one of their leaders, said, we want to be a tribe. We want to have a tribe. We want to teach our art, weaving baskets. We want to teach people our language. And he had to petition the Bureau of Indian Affairs to re-recognize the Coushatta. And they wouldn't do it until saying that, well, you can't be a tribe because you don't have land. Of course, we'd taken the land away from them. Ernest Zicke bought 15 acres of land. And said, okay, now we have some land. And then the Bureau of Indian Affairs and ultimately Congress re-recognized the Coushatta tribe. And as Ernest puts it, now we could be Indians. And it's just this back and forth, which I think McGirt and Castro Huerta are examples of back and forth in policy that leaves uncertainty and gives little opportunity for American Indians to be sovereign nations, sovereign individuals who can enjoy what all the rest of we Americans enjoy.
The book is Renewing Indigenous Economies, Terry Anderson and Kathy Rattay, writing about why we're in this fix where the Supreme Court reverses itself on sovereignty, property, governance, trade. When we come back, what is to be done? And is the gaming of the late 20th century an answer? Is that a model? Or what about the energy in parts of America under Indian reservation lands here in the 21st century? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bosch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.